Thank you very much. The next presentation is entitled Vibromechanical Assessment of Active Middle Ear Implant Stimulation and Simulated Middle Ear Effusion, a Temporal Bone Study. Dr. Lupo presenting.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to thank the organizing committee for the opportunity to present our work this morning. In the way of disclosures, I have no relationships to disclose. Active middle ear implants are novel devices that have initially been developed for the rehabilitation of sensorineural hearing loss. As an implantable hearing aid, these devices are coupled to the acicular chain in a technique referred to as acicular chain vibroplasty. Over the last 7 years or so, the active middle ear implant has been adapted for the rehabilitation of conductive and mixed losses. In this application, the device is modified and may be applied to the round window, essentially driving the cochlea in reverse to rehabilitate these mixed and conductive losses. This is a technique referred to as round window vibroplasty. Our lab has been interested in understanding how active middle ear implants perform in normal conditions as well as in common pathologies, especially otosclerosis. And this study was meant to expand upon that knowledge by exploring responses from both acicular chain vibroplasty as well as round window vibroplasty in a setting of simulated middle ear effusion, mimicking what might be encountered in a more chronic environment in which these might be implanted. To assess, we studied five temporal bones, each prepared with a mastoidectomy, a posterior tympanotomy, as well as occlusion of the eustachian tube. The facial nerve and the stapedius tendon were maintained to more closely replicate a surgical type approach. The transducer used for the experiment was the middle ear transducer, acicular stimulator, or the MET, from the former Otologics Corporation. We see in the figure in the upper right the transducer applied to the body of the incus in an acicular chain vibroplasty. For the round window vibroplasty, a 0.5 millimeter ball tip was applied to the transducer, subsequently applied to the round window. Acoustic measurements were taken, vibromechanical measurements were taken, and then an effusion was then induced with saline. Care was taken to completely fill the middle ear space, ensuring complete coverage of the tympanic membrane. Stapes velocities were measured by laser Doppler vibrometry, and transfer functions were computed and analyzed in three frequency bands: low, less than 1 kilohertz, medium, 1 to 3 kilohertz, and high, 3 to 8 kilohertz. Variability experiment was performed with repeated measurements in a single temporal bone, and what we found was that for repeated application, either in acicular chain vibroplasty or round window vibroplasty, 3 dB was seen as the variance. We assessed the performance of our temporal bones with acoustic stimuli. This is with insert earphones into the external auditory canal looking at stapes velocities. Here we see stapes velocity as a function of frequency for each of the temporal bones under consideration. The shaded line indicates the 95% confidence interval for a large cohort of temporal bone stapes velocities measured by various groups and reported by John Rozowski and colleagues in 2007. Once the acoustic measurements were taken, the experimental effusion was induced. This graph demonstrates the attenuation seen. We see attenuation as a function of frequency. A mean reduction of 8 dB was observed across our temporal bones. Once the acoustic measurements were taken, the active middle ear implant was applied to the body of the incus. What we see in the figure on the left are the electrovibrational transfer functions, the stapes velocity as a function of frequency for each of the individual temporal bones. The dark line indicates the mean. The shaded area represents the 95% confidence interval. Once the baseline electrovibrational transfer functions were computed, the effusion was induced. And the results of the effusion are demonstrated in the figure on the right-hand side. Here we see attenuation as a function of frequency band. We found a non-significant frequency dependent reduction in transfer function with higher frequencies affected more than low frequencies. Once the acicular chain vibroplasty measurements were taken, the active middle ear implant with the 0.5 millimeter ball tip was then applied to the round window, and measurements were again taken. Again, we see on the left the individual transfer functions as well as the mean indicated by the black line, the 95% confidence interval shaded in gray. In contrast to a circular chain vibroplasty, once we induced an infusion, we actually saw a significant frequency dependent improvement in transfer function on the order of 8 to 16 dB, depending on frequency. Our lab has been interested in assessing the performance of active middle ear implants, and this study was meant to improve our understanding of active middle ear implant performance in pathologic conditions, specifically middle ear effusion. Our temporal bone model was adapted from previously established models of effusion. However, it did require some differences. Our middle ear system was open to accommodate our device, and Stapes measurements were taken. Despite these differences and the lower than previously reported attenuation because of effusion, I believe the model does demonstrate how this particular middle ear implant might perform in a middle ear effusion. We see a trend towards decreased efficiency with a circular chain vibroplasty, and we presume from increased mass loading of the acicular chain as well as the tympanic membrane. We see an increased efficiency with round window vibroplasty, which we presume is from an improved coupling with the fluids of the inner ear and the middle ear effusion. However, further work is required to fully explain this finding. In conclusion, effusions appear to impact the performance of active middle ear implants, at least the middle ear implant utilized in this study. We utilized just the one device from the Otologics Corporation. However, alternate technologies exist, and these were not tested in this study. In the future, we would like to assess more devices and enhance our model, more closely replicating the in vivo environment and looking at different aspects of the middle ear environment, including pressure and volume. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors as well as my colleagues within the Tolene Lab. I'd also like to acknowledge the support of the American Academy of Otolaryngology for their support in my work. Thank you for your attention.